It's gonna be an echoey show, and that's just gonna be the way it is.
Yeah, because we're in this. If you hear an echo, it's because we're in this vast, cavernous room inside of an even vaster space that was just moved into by the team at Rain.
That's right.
I feel like. You remember what was the show? What was it? Fraggle Rock, and they were in the caves, and they go to the guy's house, and they were like, "That is outer space. That is what I feel like out there is." And I know our guest today feels like I gotta fill that space. I'm against that. And you keep it like that. You get some. You know, you can play soccer, you can play hockey, play catch in that area.
We, as a matter of fact, we played.
You can drive cars
during the U.S. Open golf. We put a miniature golf course out there with
little
things, and we played a full 9-hole miniature golf course out there.
Yeah, you can't drive cars. You gotta get. We're on the third story of a place without an elevator. How are you going to get a car up here?
Now you're on the third floor. There is a service elevator.
We went up again, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we should introduce our guest.
We have Stefan Mumau.
We're going with Stefan.
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 Stefan Mumau.
I heard Steph coming up.
Yeah.
The stairs. We can do
okay.
Mr. Mumau.
And I'm reading this from Mr. Mumau. I'm reading this from your latest book because I noticed your old book still says you're in California. We'll see if this one does too.
That one does not.
Okay, we did not drive to California, so we're not there.
Oh, that's good.
Now we are still actually in Kansas City.
Graduated with a BFA in graphic design from Chapman University in 96. Since that time, you've written two books on the subject of web design, which are Simple Websites and Redesigning Websites. Are those still available in print?
If you can find a copy of Redesigning Websites, I will give you a dollar.
Fantastic. Along with the creative staple, Caffeine.
About how much you can get it for?
For the most part, but I'm done, yes.
Caffeine for the Creative Mind. You've taught design classes at Chapman University, directed the creative department at the Brain Yard, a small advertising agency in Costa Mesa, California. And you're currently the director of All That Rocks at Kansas City-based creative shop Rain. Fantastic.
That is all correct information.
That is you. So yeah. How are you doing today?
I'm well. It's good to have you guys here.
And your second book in the series, Caffeine for the Creative Team, also just hit stores within this last year.
It did. It was about, 6 months ago?
It's a little
That's
bit.
That's right.
A little bit thinner.
And you went from 250
That's
creative
exercises
to only 150 because
Because there's more people involved because it's for your team. And two, the exercises were a little bit more ambitious this time around than they were the first time around.
Well, let's start with the first book.
Sure.
Let's start with Caffeine for the Creative
I'm going to have to open up some caffeine.
Oh, how was that? Going.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm glad you got that
I need an excuse to drink more soda.
Tell us about the book. Tell us where did the idea or the need for this book come from?
Well, Caffeine for the Creative Mind actually was born out of a teacher that I had in college. See, I wrote the book with my co-author, who is not sitting next to me, because she is in California. Her name is Wendy Lee Oldfield. Wendy was one of my students when I was teaching at Chapman. I also graduated from Chapman University, and I had one instructor there that would give us these exercises, especially after lunch, anytime we had a class after a meal. She would give us these exercises, and they were meant to simply spark our creativity, kind of get us focused again on thinking in alternative ways. And they were very conceptual. They were, you know, the very first exercise that I can remember that's in the book, that we put in the book, obviously credited to Denise, who was our teacher, was, you know, she would give us exercises like she would give us three straight lines in a circle. And then she would give us these words like joy and pain and passion. And we had to organize these lines and circles to create an icon for those words, which are difficult to do when you're giving such limited resources to work with. And what we found was, as much as we hated to have to do them when we walked
in. Because I'm assuming when you did them, you're like, I'll never have to do this for a job.
Exactly.
There's never a client that's going to give me a circle and three sticks and
three sticks and tell me to do something. Exactly. But what it ended up doing was it really did end up focusing us, and we really had to start thinking about, you know, coming up with creative solutions for things. And so right after I had Wendy as a student, she was graduating, and she needed a job. And so we hired her at the Brain Yard. And we were sitting around one day, and it was one of those days, and we all have those days, where you just don't want to do anything. And Donovan, I can see by the look on your face, that happens to you quite
a
lot.
That's happening to Donovan right now.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to do this. I'll catch you guys when you're done.
We drove all the way down here, and dude was like, man,
Can't we just turn around? So she was like, I wish I had some of these exercises. So we started giving each other these little creative exercises. And Wendy comes to me and says, we should put up a website and give people these exercises.
How do you find ambitious students like this? It's fantastic.
She's incredibly unique in that
that's
way.
That's a really good point.
No, actually, I've had some ambitious students, but I mean, it does make the difference. But
it really does. And she's fantastic. I mean, she lives her whole life in this eyes wide open mode that really, you want those people around you because she's from South Africa. She questions everything, every aspect of our society, she questions, which things that we take for granted, you go, yeah, I never really thought about why people think that. But Wendy's like, let's put up a book and give these exercises away. And, you know, the commerce part of me said, well, why would we do that? We need to write a book where we can make a little bit of money on the outside of this thing. So I presented it to my publisher at Rockport. My first two books were Rockport books. And the acquisitions editor loved it. Her name's Kristen Ellison. She was fantastic. She took it to their pub board and they said no. They didn't think that it would translate well overseas. So I took it to How, which was my first experience with How Books. And Megan over at How Books was like, this is fantastic, let's do it. And so we made it. And it's actually been fairly successful. And it's one of those moments where you just want to thumb your nose.
Now, when you originally did it, when you pitched it to How, was because it was successful? Is how you got the sequel book?
How came to us. Megan came to me and said, would you guys be interested in writing a follow-up? And if the book had bombed, I doubt they would have allowed us to do a follow-up.
Right, but that's generally the way it works.
Yeah, so she said, you know, what can you spin this? What can you do that's different? And, you know, caffeine for creative animals didn't work out well, so we went with team.
Yeah, mainly because animals don't read English.
Yeah, for the most part, we would have had to translate it into a variety of languages.
But it is black
languages.
And white. You did think for that because animals don't see color, so it's
that's a good point.
There.
It's right. That's a good point.
And can I ask straight away?
Feel free.
Did you handle the interiors of these books, or did How?
My relationship with Wendy was this. I wrote, she designed. Wendy designed every page within both books.
These are some design-ass design.
She designed every page. Every page is unique. She didn't use any of the same materials in anything. She was fantastic.
These are like 300
exactly
books here.
Exactly.
That's no small feat.
No, it's not.
By the way, this is our boy, Clint. Here,
yeah,
he's been on the show.
Clint Runge, and I'm still working on this one. Donovan nearly finished.
What I did was
I got
all the way to Von Glitchka's interview here,
yes.
Which is only 20 pages done, and I see Von, and I'm like, I'll read this later.
that's what I said when I wrote it. I'll write this later. That was kind
I'll
of
just
the last one
the
we
back.
Did. No, I put him way in the back where hopefully no one ever reads it. Von
it's
was
like
great.
The reward. It's like putting Debbie Millman in the back the other way, and love Debbie Millman.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Then it's like your reward for getting through it.
If you get through it, then you get to read the last one, and then you wonder why you ever read any of the other ones.
I was just gonna say, like, I've known Clint since college, and I was just flipping through here, and my wife knows him too, and I was like, I was just flipping through the book. I was trying to show her, like, you have to like see the pages, like come on, and then flip through and wind up and like, oh. Hell,
there's Clint. Yeah,
this is also. I mean,
him last weekend.
I mean, it's fun to see because this is. You'd almost say if someone was saying like, what style is the book's done in? It's almost like a grunge style.
Yeah,
but it's actually a readable grunge style. Like everything in here is completely legible. The grunge look doesn't slow down the reading.
Well, there's a bit of an inside joke with Wendy. We wrote this book on creativity and trying to think in alternative ways. If you notice, I don't know if it's the same way with the second book. The first book, outside of the title font, the kind of scripty title font,
right.
All of the body copy is either Times or Arial. And she did it on purpose just to kind of a thumb up. To
I was going to say kind of a dig.
Exactly. Yep. So I'll write an entire book in either Times or Arial. And she made every font in there Times or Arial. She's an amazing designer. I mean, if you look at every page,
it shows that even these styles that people don't even, you know, nobody thinks to design in grunge anymore, they can still be very relevant and feel refreshing when used properly. And I think she did a great job at that.
And not only did she design it that way, really, I mean, frankly, she's probably a far more interesting interview than me. She all of the brushes and everything she used, it's all her own photography. So she all the backgrounds and everything you see, she's created all that unique to her. I mean, it really is. When she got done with this, I remember her saying, "I'm so glad it's done. I can't imagine ever doing it again. It was just too much work." And like women who have a child and then say,
right.
"That was too hard.
Yep,
I don't want to ever do it again." 2 months later, like, you know what? It wasn't that bad. And she was asking for the second one already.
I'd be all right with doing that again.
Yeah,
well,
be okay.
So what it is I will say, I've been reading through this, and it's a little weird to read through the book straight through because they're meant as 250 different exercises.
That's right. Every page
is
unique.
You're supposed to, like, if you have any sort of creative block at all, you just flip one open.
That's exactly right.
And every single part of one of these you can do, and it says about 15 to 20 minutes.
That's
although
right.
You can also take them, and some of them you could spend days on them. If you wanted
to stretch them out, we've had lots of teachers that would contact us and said, I've taken this exercise and made it an assignment that we've spanned over the course of 6 weeks, you know, by just adding this part to it or that's part to it. And that's really what we were thinking as we were building this, that you can do them quickly. And frankly, like anything, you get as much out of it as you put into it. So if you give it an effort and really, you know, take it serious, even though it might be a silly thing, if you give it some effort, you'll find that you begin to improve from a creative standpoint.
But I love how you mentioned in here too, that a lot of times, just doing one of these creative exercises breaks up your daily routine just enough
yep.
that you all of a sudden have to think different. And we get so stuck into, you know, you wake up, you drive to Kansas City to record podcasts, you drive home. I mean, it's like a daily thing that eventually this becomes monotonous.
Well, what ends up happening is that so much of our day is wrapped up in a variety of things. Ideation is only one small part. We're asked to execute. We're asked to keep track of time. We're asked to talk to a client. We're asked to do all these things. And then we're pulled into a meeting at the last minute and someone sits down and says, let's come up with some ideas for this thing. That's not innate to human nature. You know, we need thought involved in that. So what these books help us to do is to train to do exactly that, creativity on demand.
And it also does you break it up with a couple interviews where in between you talk to like Terry Marks and stuff where you actually justify like somebody who's running a successful business on how they
exactly.
use these play exercises to be productive so that you can go to your boss and like, no, I'm not messing around by just taking photos of things around my office
yeah.
and start with the letter N.
Exactly.
This is actually going to help me.
Well, the interviews were actually meant to show people that in every successful creative's life, anyone that we look at that we've put up on a pedestal for whatever reason, they may not do these exercises or have exercises, but there's aspects of their daily process that are similar to this.
Right.
That surprise and newness is part of what we do. It's what we love as creatives. So to some degree, there's some element of what the exercises bring in every successful creative's life. And they see that these traits, these people that we look at and go, man, that guy is so creative. I don't know how he keeps coming up with ideas. It's not because he was born with it. It's because to some degree he has trained for it. In his life, aspects of that process have come to him and he's had to act upon them. And whether they're exercises like this or some other element of their life, these are all unique processes to creatives and something that we can train to be. We can train to be more creative.
Could you tell me a little bit about the feedback you got once the first book came out? Did you get any, like you say, you've talked to, you know, like teachers or instructors
yeah.
or a lot. Do you get crazy stories of exercises gone awry?
the crazy story of exercises gone awry is actually a guy you know with Justin Aarons at Rule 29.
Love
him. Don't associate us.
Don't associate it with a guy that 29. You've met before with Justin Aarons. I asked Justin. I interviewed Justin for the second book, and I asked Justin. Justin, can you put an exercise together? If I gave you an exercise, would you do it with your team? And he said absolutely. So I gave him an exercise, and it just goes to show you that when you put these things out there, you have no idea how you're going to get them back. Yeah, you know, some people will give you a very little effort. Some people give you. You know, this amazing effort. Justin at Rule 29 gave us this incredible effort. So did the guys from Three Dogs up in Toronto. This amazing effort where you go, I didn't expect that. With Justin, we gave him an exercise and they went out and did costumes and was involved in role play. They took photos. They had a photographer involved in it. What we got back was unbelievable. So much more so than what we ever thought. It didn't necessarily go awry, but you know, in Justin's twisted mind, it's where he took it,
that's
you
right,
know, in
yeah.
something unique. And so I know you guys may not want to be associated with Justin, but you can at least agree
no, he's fine.
That he has a twisted mind.
It does explain why he does such creative work, though.
And I think if you went back in Justin's, if Justin, you know, would put down the funny card for a moment, because you know he has a tendency to keep that up for a while. And if you went through his process, I think you would absolutely find areas where he's been exposed to a lot of creative thinking
ways. We were fortunate enough to have him, you know, work with us on a poster, and it was fantastic.
Oh yeah,
just working with different creative people gives their perspective, and you know. It was fantastic.
Yeah, he's really great in our industry.
You might say we worked with Justin as a part of a team.
That's correct. You are holding up the right book for all your television viewers.
So tell us about the new book, Caffeine for the Creative Team. It's much more centered upon getting groups of people working creatively together, and having come from some of the situations that are outlined in the beginning of the book as do nots, if you will. You take a really straight angle approach to, you know, listening to everyone's ideas and not saying, oh, you're not in the creative department, get out, you know, which I've been there. So tell us a little bit about more where this book is coming from and what your goals were putting it together.
Well, what we wanted to do with team was we wanted to develop exercises that didn't just involve everyone at the table doing the same exercises and then showing people what they did,
exactly,
where they all had a part in the creative process. And so the exercises within team are a little bit more ambitious. They require a little bit more time in most cases, but they do involve multiple perspectives. You know, when we deal with creativity, the only two things that are required from a creative standpoint is experience and perspective. That's what makes every person unique in the creative process. Yet we put creative in our titles because that's what we exercise on a regular
right,
basis. But everyone is creative. All you need to do to be creative is have experience and have perspective, and everyone has those things. So anyone from the accounting department or human resources, they all have experiences and perspectives that, while they may struggle with the execution of those ideas, they have ideas and they're just as valid as anyone else's ideas.
And it should be noted that there's not any exercises in here that you have to be like a good at drawing or anything. It's any sort of creativity. It's writing.
That's
this
right.
Will help any of these.
Medium is independent. When we talk about creativity, you can express your creativity. If you've never written a song, that doesn't mean that you can't attempt to write a song as part of a creative exercise.
Right.
You know, if you don't know how to draw, you don't need to have the talent of drawing. You don't need to be Von Glitchka to sit down at a table and express an idea with a pencil and a paper. It's just getting what's in your head out. And so what we tried to make the exercises do was involve everyone, where your talent didn't matter. It simply was generating ideas and then expressing them as part of a group environment. You know, what we do here at RAIN, because, you know, we're an ad agency, we have a variety of people come in and they have different experiences, and not all of them are designers or artists to any degree, but they all play an integral role in the final outcome of whatever campaign that we create. In that same way, when you're talking about the creative process, part of the greatest joy we have as creatives, I think especially as designers, you were talking about it earlier with working with Justin on the poster, is getting to work with other people.
Right.
You know, we say that we get stuck in these cubicles and only work with ourselves. And what we really value and want is to have other people around to work with. But yet, what we do every day is walk back into our cubicle and sit down and work. It's just who we are as an artist and a designer is we work alone, but what we've found the greatest joy in is working with other people. And so what the book does is attempts to give you purpose and reason to work with other people. It forces you to go out and have to find a partner or find two other people or three other people in order to accomplish the goal of an exercise.
And the other thing that you do well is every now and then you have somebody who actually chimes in that says, I tried it, and they say how it actually helped them. And sometimes it's somebody who, you know, they're doing this drawing helped me write.
And that's exactly what we wanted with them. We didn't want people to go, hey, I did it, and I came up with a same sales solution I would always come up with. What we wanted to see is how they twisted it, how they turned it, and how they took that exercise and went, you know, I took what you did with the exercise and I added this bit, and this is what it did for me. And I wanted those experiences to play a role in the book. We had a very ambitious goal of collecting all of these I tried it's after the fact, and we've gotten a bunch in of people who have done stuff and said, this is what I did. Matter of fact, if you go onto Flickr and you search for Caffeine for the Creative Mind, there are groups everywhere who are using the internet to get together with other people and perform these exercises remotely. You know, the freelancers, one-offs, guys that are in their basement who are thirsty for the ability to get with other people, and they've been using the internet in order to do that. And what we're finding is that they're turning and twisting these things in ways we never intended, and that's the best part of it.
Are there bad ideas in brainstorming?
Are there bad ideas?
Yeah.
There are never bad ideas. There are bad executions of ideas.
Uh-huh.
The act of ideation, there is no value to what is exposed. You know, I was reading an article by Tom Monahan. I don't know if you know Tom Monahan. He's a creative coach. He wrote Do It Yourself Lobotomy.
It's a great title.
It's a fantastic title. He's a creative coach, and he brought up on his blog, he brought up the act of are we shotgunners or are we riflemen when it comes to ideation? Do we sit back and formulate an idea, take out anything that doesn't directly have anything to do with the goal at hand, and then wait until the proper moment to express that refined idea? Or are that's a rifleman? Or are we shot? Yeah, that's a rifleman. Are we a shotgunner? We'll just say whatever comes into our head, any germ of an idea, get it out on the table. It hasn't been thought out. It might suffice for part of the project, but the rest of it is big, fat, wide open. What kind of creative are we as far as how we express our ideas? And frankly, what he was asking was what method is more appropriate, more beneficial? And there were people on both sides of that fence who were arguing passionately about their stance. Most of the arguments that came with the rifleman side had to do with the reality of time in our industry.
Right.
I don't have time to spit everything out. We have to have an idea, even if it might not be as good as another idea. I have to have an idea that works, and I have to have it quickly because I'm trying to run a business. All of the more pie in the sky creatives were all saying, no, get it all out on the table. And I'm a big believer in shotgun. I'm a big believer in getting it all on the table because a germ of an idea that I might have, you might be able to apply some experience or perspective that you had and take that idea someplace that I couldn't have taken it with my own perspective and experience, someplace that could then lead someplace else and turns into something much greater than what it was alone for me. So when we get into brainstorming sessions, we get everything on the table. I mean, guys are writing down germs of ideas that you might look at 2 weeks later and go, you know what? I don't know where he was going with that, but what if we did something like that over here? Those are the valuable parts that come from getting together in a group or team setting. So as far as, is there bad ideas? No. There's germs of ideas that may not be able to suffice on their own that are bad by themselves, but given to somebody else can immediately turn good. We've all seen bad execution of good ideas.
Certainly.
And it doesn't, you have to have both.
Have you seen Donovan's website?
All right. On this note, we need to stop. We got the student tip from Mig Reyes coming up right now.
It's
the
Mig tip.
You know, Nate, Donovan, I'm totally digging the theme for this episode. And so to go along with that, this episode's student tip is embrace iterations. Here's the thing. Too many students pull the trigger on their first idea when it comes to a design project. So while your first ideas might be good, your second, your third, your 30th ideas might be even greater. So let's say you're working on a logo or a poster or even a packaging design project. Whatever it is you're working on, try things like using scale. Make the type huge, make the type small, make some elements, you know, shift around, swap out colors. This is what layers and layer comps are for in Photoshop and Illustrator. You know, you have the chance to make duplicates and versions. By doing this, you're going to make your professor and your future creative director really proud by showing them a wealth of options. So again, embrace iterations. Try different variations. You'll chip away at finding a potentially greater solution to your design project. And it's definitely one way to wake up your brain.
Once again, out of the park, nailed it.
Yes, that. Go Mig. I almost forgot we were
kind of
back
kind
in
of like
tip.
How I wish I had these books like 10 years ago. I also wish I knew that knowledge that Mig just dropped on us 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, you know it now. Take it forward, man. In 10 years, don't say I wish I knew what Mig was telling me 10 years ago. Okay. So, Stefan.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about Rain. You guys, you haven't honestly been here in KC for all that long.
Nope. We're really quite new.
You got Hammer Press.
How long have you been in KC again?
Right. I have been here since the beginning of last year. I moved here from Southern California where I lived
my
life.
Why would you do that?
And that's usually the question that follows.
Right.
I've lived in Southern California all my life. My daughter is 10 years old. My wife and I felt like we had missed so much of her growing up because of the pace of Southern California and the cost of Southern California. We were just ready for something different. And so we had a very unique time in our relationship. We unrolled a map and just started circling areas of the country we thought we wanted to live. Some we had been to, some we hadn't. And the Midwest, we really love Chicago. She's a Bears fan. I'm a Cubs fan. The problem with Chicago is it's just too cold. So we had to come south.
True.
We had to come south to some degree. So we circled the Midwest, and I started doing agency searches, which was another difficult thing. I thought I was a partner at the Brainyard. Before that, I had my own design shop called Big Man Creative. oddly enough.
Sure.
Strangely enough.
For those of you who are not here, you're a tall guy.
I'm 6'8". That's true.
Even sitting down, he towers above Donovan.
Yes.
So I thought, you know what? I can go from owning my own shop to being, you know, an employee again if I truly feel like I can believe in what the agency or what the shop is
right.
going
yeah.
for.
Yeah, to make that switch, you need to have a lot of money.
Exactly. And so I started doing agency searches, and it came down between two shops. There was one in Indianapolis and one here in Kansas City. And I went with Kansas City after visiting. It was just something about, you know, driving down the street and seeing trees come together over the streets and kids playing football across the front yards. You could have small town America and only be 20 minutes from a city. And we just fell in love with it. So we moved here. Matter of fact, it was New Year's Eve was the first day we got into Kansas City. The 2nd of January is when the truck showed up, and it was 15 degrees. And I almost told the guy to turn around and go home. It was just, I mean, I had to stand outside.
Yeah, not a good time to really get your true introduction.
No, the 15 degrees thing, it's like I told my wife, the coldest I had been before that is just standing in front of the Ben and Jerry's counter at Lucky's.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
change.
Yeah, so the coldness was, the cold and snow and ice was something to get used to, but once October rolled around and you can see trees turning colors and, you know, trees that aren't cell phone towers, it made up for everything. Having seasons was a huge change of pace. I mean, in California, everything's the same. It always is.
Yeah.
Having seasons was
so very
cool.
So did you actually work at this other place before opening up your shop? Or
I did. No, I worked there for 6 months. And if any of you have gone from owning your own shop to being an employee again, it was much harder than I thought.
So
I was questioning every decision.
That's enough.
That's it. I can't do it anymore. And so I left to basically start my own shop. And what was funny is my partner, Mike, was my boss. He was one of the partners at the previous agency.
He heard this rumor.
He left right after I did. And he said, listen, I think you and I have similar views. And so we started Rain. And Rain is, like I said, it's about 6 months old. We've got three primary clients, and you know, we're trying to focus on sports-related clients. It's where our
and
joy
your,
is.
And
where
your business
passion
cards,
is.
I notice, are letterpress because you are right above, like right.
I don't, I don't, I don't want to make anyone jealous, but we are the closest creative shop to Hammer Press. They are next door to us on the bottom floor.
Yeah,
you can almost smell the ink in the Jack Stack.
It is
barbecue space.
Unbelievable how great Hammer Press is. It's I can sit. I'll go down there and just sit and eat lunch.
Like I'm just sitting here, I'm just kind of geeking out a little bit. We drove up, and it's like painted on the brick face of the wall.
Yeah.
Hammer Press, and I was like, I feel like that just said Hammer Press.
One of the most famous letterpress
I
shops
said,
in the nation.
I said we're going to have to do a shorter show just so I can go check the place out.
That's right, and it's far more interesting than I'll ever be. Let's put it that way.
Well, we can go prove that.
Yeah, actually,
if you like.
Actually, we are going to prove that. This is basically it. So,
guys,
it's been
fantastic.
Now, Rain, if people want to check you out, what's your website address?
Let It Rain, LETITREIGN. Rain.
That kind of rain, folks.
Not right. Like the water rain, but like the kingly.
And your books are still
rain.
Available at How Books.
That's right.
And at fine bookstores near you.
At any fine bookstore near you.
Right. And,
except for your Rockport.
You know, you might be able to find Simple Site still rolling around.
Is that only because the web changes so fast that those don't? I mean,
yes. When I wrote Redesigning, it came out just before September 11th in 2001, and everything went into the tank after that. But regardless. Books on web design simply aren't that popular. Yeah. You can get your resources online.
Well, and they don't have the shelf life because...
No, because everything becomes dated really quickly.
Right.
Really quickly.
Well, and on that sobering note...
Well, let's get some barbecue.
That's right. From Jack Stack.
I'm for some barbecue. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
It's my pleasure.
And perhaps we can get some caffeine or lame caffeine-related jokes in over lunch.
Fantastic.
All right. Thanks again.
To send questions or comments to the Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery, music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.
Uh, We're going to do a sound check.
Sound checking. So how are you doing today?
I am doing very well, thank you.
Fantastic.
I am speaking into
if
the
that,
point.
Honestly, if that's too low, you can
I,
you
no,
move it up a little bit.
I have no problem.
It's up as high as it.
Right
yeah,
there.
That's fantastic.
That's really much better right in here.
I can tell you my brother is 6'8", so I am not intimidated.
Well, good.
I couldn't get that
sentence out. He means he wants to play a little V-ball.
A little one-on-one? Good.